Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the walls that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Here, this is Nehemiah, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquities, their sin. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half of its height, for the people had a mind to work. Somebody say that with me. The people had a mind to work. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for these moments that we have. Father, you always touch me so that I can touch them. Without you touching me, I can't touch them. Father, there's something great on the horizon, and we just suggest ourselves to be a part of it. We humble ourselves to the greatest degree that the wisdom and knowledge of heaven would resonate in our being. We're not just a church. We're not just on a corner. We're not just behind some neighborhood. God, we have been selected by you, and therefore we're selected by you. We're empowered by you. We thank you for the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to do what you called us to do. And God, we're already outside of the walls because we stream into other nations. And Father, we want to go further and we want to do more. So we thank you now for that empowerment in 2023. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Go ahead and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. In this portion of scripture that I read to you, there are some individuals there who are going to cause conflict to the work of God. The reason I'm teaching you this is because we have something too valuable to be intercepted by selfishness. When you know you have something valuable, you arrange your people and you strategize to make sure that it's always safe. If you were to go to Fort Knox right now, and they said there's nothing in there, but there will be military soldiers that are standing guard. There will be people who are guarding the space because it is assumed that valuables are there. Whenever you get an atmosphere like what you're experiencing, it's not something that we taught. I never got up and said, when I hit a note or we sing this song, you jump, you run, you holler. I really don't know when it started, but it just started. And I've not been able to stop it. I start preaching and people start running to the front. And I ask them, "What are you doing?" So they stand up a lot during the service. I don't know where that came from, but I've not been able to intentionally stop it. And I really don't want to stop it, because all the greatest preachers that I brought to this platform from around the world, they responded in a positive sense, saying that we have not experienced anything like this in this nation. They are so overwhelmed with the hunger for the preached word that is exemplified in this sanctuary. For many years back, while my spiritual father was alive, Bishop Eddie L. Long, he had heard about the energy in the house. And people were somewhat criticizing the energy of the house. But when he came, he said, this is authentic. That's what he said. A man that has gone around the globe, experienced the atmosphere and the people, and it was authentic. I just needed somebody with status to grade it. So whenever someone with status signs off on something, it is okay. Now, we're not going to bother you if you're conservative. We're not going to bother you if you have a different way. That's fine. But what we have is real. I said what we have is real and it's not hype. And we preach and teach the word. And if the word really gets on the inside of you, you'll somewhat lose control. You may not run, but the Holy Spirit may come sit on you. And you just bobble your head back and forth. But something seems to happen in this place that is stretching all the way into other nations. So we have to recognize that we are force against darkness, and we carry the ability to impact nations. So with that being said, I want to give us a strategy here. And I want to walk us through some scriptures so we can learn to identify things that don't like the accomplishments that we're having. Now, I wish I could say that everybody's excited with us. But when we're streaming some, they don't comment. And they don't comment because they're going to come back and they won't watch it later. And they're going to take some of the ideas, but they're not going to like who's leading. But that's fine. Because I don't do it for myself. See, I've gotten beyond myself, because if I was doing it for me, I wouldn't need to do it. Because I'm fine by myself. But when it begins to impact more, like Nehemiah realized that what was going on in Jerusalem was impacting many, many people. So when you know you have something that carries a level of influence, you have to put systems in place and be very strategic at your approach so that the devil don't put your fire out. You know, many of you, you went through these cold days and they were really cold. Too cold for me to stay outside. But anybody that didn't have heating, they suffered. If the church don't have heat, the people are going to freeze. So they begin to accomplish certain things. And I want to give you a better understanding of these individuals. And we're not pointing fingers at anyone. What we're doing is we are making people aware. Because if I can read my Bible and I see where I have characteristics of someone that could be harmful to a move of God, then I'm going to ask God to forgive me for my wrong thinking. So as we dissect Sanballat and Tobiah, now we're not pointing so you can say, oh, that's Sanballat and that's Tobiah. We don't want you to do that. If Sanballat and Tobiah is sitting in the audience or streaming, let him or her identify themselves and have an opportunity to get involved in this great move of the Spirit that's going to shake this earth. So let me talk about Sanballat. Sanballat's name means sin. When I done my research, I found that in my Logos study that his name means sin. Now, I really don't understand why somebody would name their child and it equates to sin, but that was his name. So when he started to cause problems, you can think of the characteristics in his mind and the way he processed was sinful towards the things of God. So his name and his actions, they meshed. The name Tobiah means slave or servant. Tobiah served close to his master. And he was very committed to his master. There was a movie that came out. This guy named Stephen. Django. This guy named Stephen. He was so faithful to his master that he was harming his own people. So Tobiah was like a Stephen. He was a houseboy. So he stood close to Sanballat, and he agreed with Sanballat against the assignment of God on Nehemiah and the people who were working. Let's deal more with Sanballat. Sanballat knew that the restoration of Jerusalem would lessen his influence in the area. There's so many people who like to be a big fish in a small pond. So Sanballat was the type of person, he wanted to be a big fish, and he wanted to keep the pond small. Because anytime the pond or the ministry or the business enlarges itself, you lose a level of influence. So he wanted to be the chief, and he wanted to be recognized. Based on my study, everything I'm saying is based on my study. This is not Stephen A. Davis philosophy. This is based on my study. So he was angry because if they started bringing restoration, he was going to lose influence. Some people thrive on your deficits. Some people thrive on your weaknesses. They don't want you to get better, because if you get better, you don't need them. Sanballat had enough influence to talk, but he did not want restoration to take place, because restoration means I lose influence, meaning I got to swim with the other fish. Y'all okay? He became greatly angered and intended on discouraging Nehemiah's project. He starts to mouth off because this project was going to lower his influence. So he wants to kill the credibility of Nehemiah so they'll stop building. So he begins, and let me help you to understand something. Negative people can always get an audience. You'd be surprised at how negative people have followers. So he becomes negative. He talks to his brethren. He talks to the army of Samaria. And then he has Tobiah, the houseboy, standing next to it. Sometimes when people like Sanballat have support, they begin to stick their neck out just a little bit, become a little arrogant and boisterous. So he did not want the work to take place, because if the work and the restoration began, he was no longer going to be acknowledged as the chief deacon. No disrespect, just had to use something that you could relate to. Sanballat's question, so he starts to question. You have to be careful when somebody who should know the answers are asking you questions. Always hear me. How long you been in apostles leadership and you asking me questions? That is a strategy. Listen to this. Sanballat's questions were to bring doubt about their strengths, their wisdom, their trust in prayer and sacrifice to God. So these questions that he began to ask: what are these people, Jews, doing? No disrespect to any other race that may be under the sound of my voice, but what are these Negroes doing? Who they think they they are in Birmingham, Alabama, talking about we didn't come to take sides.
We didn't take sides.
No disrespect to anybody. But they're trying to project upon the people a thought of being inferior. That's why they want to shut me up, because you start running around saying I'm the one. They don't want you to know you the one. You put on your shirt like you Superman running around here. Show up at an interview and say I came to get my job. So he wanted to create doubt in their strength. He said, feeble Jews. I want to ask you, when you leave this place, and you got to do it here at the beginning of the year, you may want to put your shirt on, hold your book up, and ask yourself in the mirror, who am I? Why have I survived the pandemic? Why am I still here? And I know they've been trying to kill me. I know the devil hates me, but why didn't God let him get to me? Their wisdom. You get knowledge from a university. You get wisdom from life. So you're not challenging my doctorate. You're challenging my experience. I've been here long enough to experience some things that gave me wisdom. So he's trying to get them to challenge the class of life that they had walked through. So he's trying to shake them to the core. There's nothing wrong with confidence. It's not arrogance. It's experience. Why do you carry yourself like you carry yourself? Because I have experience that gave me wisdom, that makes me walk in strength. See, I learn how my stuff works. I learn how my gifting works. I learn how the anointing on my life works. So once you learn more about you, you can ask the devil, how you like me now? Your enemies always want you to question who you are and question your strength and question your life experiences. And their trust in prayer and sacrifice to God. Weren't they in church last night? Other churches either canceled their New Year's Eve or canceled their morning service, but they're not us. If they were us, they would have stayed all night until the morning service. When you know you have something good, you don't need to give an explanation to why we do this or why we do that. They're so afraid of our effectiveness, and all we have is half the wall up. When people get afraid of you and the wall is not completely up, and they already got problems with you, and they all, the Bible says, indignant. The Message Bible said he tried to vilify them, tried to turn them into villains because they had influence. Because they were impacting people's lives. because they were bringing restoration to the promise of God. He tried to make them villains. Are y'all okay? Can I keep going? What do you mean we got to pray again? If we pray again, we hear God again. You want to stop hearing God? Stop praying. Well, can you pick a more convenient time? If it's convenient, it's not a sacrifice. Nothing that's convenient is a sacrifice. That's a privilege. That is not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is when it's in the worst timing, but you're in the right moment. See, you have to understand, if you want God to show up and protect you from what's trying to stop you, then you got to get over into the sacrificial praise. I don't feel like lifting my hands, but I'd have a little help over here. Every now and then, when it gets heavy, sit beside the right person and say, can you help me hold my hands up? I know everybody wants to help me hold my arms up, but sometimes you need somebody to help you hold your arms up. Sometimes things seem so devastating, to lift your arms seems to be so complicated. But if you have a willingness to make a sacrifice, I believe somebody sitting somewhere around you will help you lift your arms up. And it may be a sacrifice, but it always will be beneficial. It's when you do something the devil tried to stop you from doing. He tells them, guys, what are y'all doing? Y'all believe that y'all gonna be able to take all this rubbish and make something out of it? So you telling me, Apostle, you gonna take these folks I know came from the projects? You gonna take them and they just 30 days out the club? You mean you can take Tim in a wheelchair and he be a national speaker? You mean you can take Caleb and Kayla, who are being dropped off by a taxi, and make them millionaires? You telling me you gonna take the Rotans that's just a little bit over a year past the death of their pastor and their husband and their father and turn them into somebody that will shake nations? Yes, you're right. See, the problem is this. Your critic thinks he has the authority to grade your qualifications. So Sanballat, he begins to question. This is what he does. Sanballat also questions the quality of the stones to psychologically hinder them. They were building and the wall was halfway up all around. So he comes in and he begins to speak to alter their focus psychologically. I told the men, it's not a target unless they lower your head and hit somewhere up in this area. The devil and your haters want to psychologically throw you off. They know you're going to work. They know you're going to sacrifice. They know you have an all-in spirit. So now I just got to mess with your head. I got to get you all psychologically. You have the strength, you have the tools, you have the equipment, so I am going to psychologically, because I know you want to do it. I know you're excited about doing it, so I got to come against you psychologically. Because if I let your mind remain focused, you're going to build something and I'm going to be powerless inside of what you build. You have no idea of the influence that you carry and the power that you have. So the devil tries to work through people to psychologically to get you to quit. Quitting is psychological. Even when my body's weak, if my mind's still focused, I'm going to pick my body up and make it do what I needed to do. See, when your mind is still there, I don't care if I got to come in a wheelchair, I'm coming anyway. I don't care what's going on my mind. I still want to be a part of something great. I don't mind driving all the way into Birmingham from Atlanta. I don't mind going out of my way because psychologically, I want to be a part of something that is going to impact this world. What he does, because everything has been burned, so they have some stones that were not burned, they have other stones that were burned. So the masons who are laying the stones are getting discouraged because all the stones are not clean. All the stones are not your traditional church people. All the stones, they don't fit because they were burned. And they never think they were burned because they were a part of the original plan. So now you have these stones that look like they fit. And then you have these stones that are marred by the fire. So the perfectionist of the mason says, I'm going to touch everything that looks like it belongs. And then I'm going to slow down my building because I don't believe those burned stones fit. People have a tendency to try to tell you what will fit and what doesn't fit. They're so smart now, not realizing they don't fit. And they don't qualify. And they have become short of glory. So I want to help you with these stones. Then I'm closing. I have 9 minutes. Because I need you to think about this. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. I may be charred, but I'm still precious to God. May have a few issues, but I'm still precious to God. May have a few triggers going on in my mind, but I'm still precious to God. You also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. They slowed down the progress because the builders didn't want to use you, not knowing they're more like you than it is of them. The Lord told me some months ago, he said, Stephen, I know you would like that type of church, but the type of people that has been burned in the fire are more numerous than the ones that omitted the fire, escaped the fire. I want to talk to some people at the beginning of this year. You know you were in the fire. You know you shouldn't have made it out of the fire.
But since you made it out of the fire, you still have a little singeing of the fire, but you still said, Lord, here I am. And if you will present yourself to the Lord your God, I believe that God has found a builder that will take a hold of that living stone that you are. And you're not a dead stone, and you're not a solid stone, and you're not a left out stone. You're the stone that God has chosen to use in this entire harvest. And if you know you're that stone and you know you're alive, I need you to shout one time for me. Help you. Some of us don't want to be an elder. Some of us don't want to be a deacon. Some of us don't want to have a title. We just want to be a part of the building. I need to hear from the people who don't want a title. You just want to be a part of the building. Let me be a part. All I want to do is be a part. All I want to do is be placed up. I believe God's going to honor your wishes this year. I believe God's going to honor your wishes this year. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, I'm a living stone. All living stones go through rejection. All living stones get discarded. All living stones get overlooked. But when Jesus shows up and gets ready to build a house, he reaches for things that other people don't reach for. I believe today, at the onset of this year, you need to stay ready, because the Lord is going to put his hands on you. You got cut from the basketball team. You got cut from the football team. You got cut from the class. You were disqualified according to their qualification. But the Lord said, I'm going to put my hands on you in this season. I'm going to use you in this season. I'm going to make you a part of the holy building. Y'all give one more shout. I got to go. If you ain't never been used, you're about to be used. If you ain't never known that you still have strength, you still have wisdom, and you're making the proper sacrifice, and God is pleased with your sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Well, unto the house of the Lord. I may not be good enough for the denomination. I may not have been good enough for some families, but I am good enough for God. I dare you to touch another neighbor's self. I'm good enough for God.
In the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church, we're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.